It's a good morning and welcome to The Value of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio. I've often had this statement that says, I was born in the church. And that statement often talks to a person like me. For over 45 years, I've been in the Adventist church. And I'm telling you, sometimes I kind of think like I'm drifting along. And so I've invited somebody who's been in the same boat as me, born and bred in the Adventist church, as if there's a maternity ward in the church. Usibongile Lugube, who's a colleague right here at the Adventist World Radio, presenter and a producer. Good morning, Sibongile.
Good morning, Tammy. Not a maternity ward in the church.
So you're confirming there's no maternity ward in the church?
Not that I know of.
That's so true. But we all say I was born in the church, but I guess we understand what it means.
Right.
Yeah, but for me, how has the experience been for you, being born in the church?
The interesting thing about that question is that I don't have anything to compare it to,
yeah. Right?
Because that's all I know. That's my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But just from what I've heard from other people, from things I've seen growing up, and challenges that I've seen, not just in my life, but also in the lives of people who've had a different kind of upbringing, I would not change it for the world, to be honest. I've heard people talk about, kind of make it feel like I've missed out on something because of having this kind of sheltered upbringing.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point in my life, I did feel like that. And
yeah.
I wonder if there's something I'm missing on the outside. But at this stage in my life, I have no regrets.
And it's interesting, you've used the word that has triggered a thought in my mind. You used sheltered, and I think sometimes shelter is good. I think being sheltered is good because it has helped us miss out on certain terrible experiences.
Right. For sure. And the thing is, the interesting thing is at some point in my life, this was like in my early 20s, I remember coming across someone at church who said something to me, and she said something to the effect that my life had been so sheltered and my adult years are going to teach me a lesson. You'll see. Once you're out of your father's house, life is going to slap you around here and there, and you'll see what life is really all about. And I found that comment made more of an impact than I expected it would, more than you'd expect it would. Such a silly, small, careless statement, but I found that I got so tense and so afraid of what's gonna happen. To the point where I was almost offended by my parents' care for me. So when the little things, like my dad wants to drive me somewhere instead of me taking public transport, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I need to learn these things. And it's like, come on, let your parents be your parents. Enjoy the shelter while you still have it, right?
Yeah.
When the time comes, when it's time for you to stand on your own and do your own thing, it'll come. You don't have to force it. So I found that stole a lot of joy from me for a long time, because I thought that shelter was like a crutch. The shelter started to feel like a disadvantage, and yet it was a blessing. Which, again, I only started to see as an adult, much later to my adult years. I started to see that, you know what, life was always going to slap me behind my head one way or another.
Yeah.
I should have just enjoyed the time that I was protected, the time that I was sheltered. I should have enjoyed that time and then let life happen as it happens. Whatever happens, God's got me, because at the end of the day, it's God who protects us. It's not our experiences. It's not our tough experiences growing up. It's what God chooses to allow you to go through, and He holds your hand through all of that. So the sheltering can be seen as a negative if you're over coddled and things like that. I get that part.
Yeah.
But just the sheltering in terms of protecting your child from certain things in the outside world and protecting them from even knowing certain things. You don't know, everything is not for everyone at every age. that are age appropriate. So yeah, I guess it depends on your definition of sheltering.
And you know what I've said to some people? I've said to them, you know what? The things that you experience in life, they shock me, because I've never been through what you guys are through. And when I say that statement, in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, I thank you, because I'm not going through what these people are going through. And now, as we move on, Bongi, there's in the Bible, there's a story. Somebody preaches and writes about this, the story of the sons of Eli in the book of 1 Samuel. I think it's chapter 2. And this person argues and says that the children of Phinehas and Hophni, because they were raised in the church, they did not get to a point where they really appreciated what it meant to worship God. Do you think that as children born and raised in the Adventist church, whichever church, do you think maybe that argument stands true to say maybe we don't really have that authentic relationship with God? It's more or less the faith of our fathers more than it's ours.
I mean, I can definitely understand where that comes from. Mm. And like you're saying, we have a clear example of it in the Bible. Mm. Just a side note, there's one preacher, Walter Pearson, says that Eli's first mistake was giving his sons those names.
Yeah.
No offense to those who've got those names. It's not me. It's Pastor Pearson who said that. But
yeah.
Yes. But yeah, it's definitely something I've seen it myself. I've seen, and it's all, I think that's also where that stereotype comes from, especially about pastors' kids.
Mm-hmm.
That pastors' kids tend to be the most rebellious and the most mischievous because of. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case or if it's more of an expectation that's been placed on them. Mm. To saying them as if I'm not a pastor's kid.
Mm.
As, an expectation that's been placed on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it becomes too much. And sometimes some kids just want to break out of that and say, I am not the one who was called. It's my father. I'm not a pastor. My father's a pastor.
Yeah.
Right. So there's always the danger of, I guess this speaks to us as parents as well.
Yeah.
Of when you have your own faith and you don't allow your child to kind of develop their own relationship with God, or you don't guide them through, not that you're disallowing it, but maybe they need a certain kind of guidance in terms of how to build their own relationship with God. I think that can be the difficulty, because now when you get older and those kids are out of your hands and out of your care, and they have to make their own decisions, are they going to stick to the principles that you upheld in your own home, in your own house, right? So I think there's a way that that has to be done. I can't speak as an expert. I'm also just, I'm trying. I'm doing my best with my own kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely, that's a big one. Like how should children develop their own relationships with God outside of being the child of believers?
You know, it's interesting that you talk about children, because me and you being in the same boat, you know, I was my grandfather was a pastor. My father refused to be a pastor, and my father soon became an elder and all that stuff. There was a lot of expectations. And in my mind, I always thought there's something missing about. Look, I'm not saying my parents did a bad job. I always thought there was something to improve about how they taught us about Christianity. And soon I reflect back and I say, where can I improve in how my parents taught me about Christianity? My father was a very good Bible teacher. He taught me how to read and understand the Bible. But there were elements where I thought, no, man, I need to improve this. And when I look at my children now, I say, where can I improve? I try to make it their faith. I don't know whether I'm doing a good job at it or not, just like you. But do you always feel with yourself that there's always areas of improvement?
Of course. Of course. Do you know what the thing is? I think the one of the big challenges that we face now with our kids is that the way that we are raising them is so different from the way that we were raised, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the way we were raised, I guess the hope was just that if the parents have this culture of family worship and every week we go to church and in my case, we spent a lot of years on Seventh-day Adventist school campuses. So spent some years in Solusi and you know, different Adventist places or boarding school, Adventist boarding schools. So because of that, I guess the hope was just that the culture that we are raised in, once we get out of there, the culture will be so in us that we'll just continue that way, just continue going to church, continue having your own family worship when you grow up and all that. And unfortunately, that was not the case, even in my situation. And I wouldn't even consider myself to have been rebellious. I'm too lazy to be rebellious. Like, I just want to follow the rules. I just want a drama-free life, right? So I'm not like a crazy rebellious person. But once I left my parents' home, I found that some of those things that I grew up with just fell away. The family, the daily devotions and the worship and things like that. Even being faithful to going to church every Sabbath, that wasn't a thing for me. Like, I'd go when I felt like it, and so. Those are things which I think come from that expectation that just because you are raised like that, that culture will just be in you. So wherever you go, it's just going to be there. And also, I think the other thing is because as we were growing up, I don't know about you, but I feel like I never really asked too many questions. Yeah. I just did what was expected.
Yeah.
I just do what you're told. We're going to church on this day. Okay. We're going for camp meeting. Okay. You're joining park. Okay, no questions, right?
Yeah.
But now I'm raising kids who have questions.
Yes.
And I'm finding that I don't have the answers for a lot of those questions. It's kind of like, you pathfinders, because that's what you do at your age. That's what. Why do we have to join Pathfinder? Because that's what kids your age do, right? So I don't know. I don't know why. And so I think that's the challenge now of raising our kids we're raising a generation of people who ask questions. They want to understand why they must do what they're being told to do. They want to know, what does this mean? Why do you believe this and that? And so that's why I really appreciate like some of our shows on AWR, where we go through the fundamental beliefs and the Voice of Prophecy lessons, because I feel like I'm starting afresh. I feel like it's a refresher course on Adventism and on Christianity. Why do we believe what we believe? Because a lot of the things I just believed because that's what I was taught. I don't know where it came from. I don't know who said it. Yes. Where does the rule come from? That's just what I was taught. And I was raised not to ask any questions.
Yeah, I guess you are right, because I'm also feeling like I'm beginning to study the Bible anew based on the program that we have on Adventist World Radio. And you talk about children asking questions. My daughter asks me the question, says, how is it that Jacob wakes up in the morning having slept with Leah? Didn't he see when he was sleeping with her that this is Leah?
That's a fair question.
Yes. That question has caused me headaches, because now I need to explain that, hey, this man was drunk. Now the question would be, how does an elder or a man of Christ become drunk? Because how can I then explain that he didn't say that this was Leah?
hey.
Yeah, but
there's so many things, there's so many questions that come up, and you're just like, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah. but do you think sometimes, and look, I don't want to mudsling us or throw rocks at us, those of us born in the church, but do you think this makes us less sensitive or understanding or empathetic to other people's experiences, especially of those that were not raised in the church?
Well, I guess that would depend, right? I don't think that necessarily being raised a certain way makes you less empathetic to someone raised a different way. I think that can happen in anything, in any situation. So maybe, like, if you're raised in an extremely wealthy family, you might be raised completely unaware of how other people are living. Or if you're raised in a very poor family, you might be completely unaware of what else is out there in the world. If you're raised in a sheltered Christian family, yes, you might grow up unaware of how other people are growing up. You might be unaware or lack understanding of where they're coming from. Certain things which feel like common sense to you because that's the way you were raised, you're like, but doesn't everyone know this? Isn't this like general knowledge? And as you get older, you start to realize that no, actually, other people were raised differently. So I think it all depends on how you are raised specifically. I think parents have to be intentional about educating their children about other cultures, other faiths, and doing it in a respectful way, so that you know the children also don't go to school and start dragging other people's faiths and things like that. But I think it is possible to raise children who are aware of differences, but do it in a way that is respectful and in a way that, I don't know, I think my difficulty and the thing that I, let me not call it a difficulty, something that I sometimes can be concerned about is, first of all, the fact that maybe I myself am not that aware of other things, so I don't know how to educate my child on that, but also that I always have this fear of them being curious about what's on the outside and what will that curiosity lead to. I want to have faith that the values that we instill in them now will keep them, will be stronger than the curiosity. But I do wonder sometimes that I wonder what's out there. I wonder what's gonna, what they're going to learn from their friends at school. Will they ever be curious? Will they ever think, you know, they're soon going to get to that age where they think their parents don't know anything. So I wonder if the curiosity will be bigger then. And that does worry me, but I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a definite thing that if you're raised in a Christian family, you are definitely going to be closed off to the outside world. You definitely can't relate to other people. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, no, that's true. But as we're about to wrap it up, Bongi, there are guys, I left the church. I left the church for about 3 years. And I just didn't want anything to do with Adventism. And we praise the Lord because one day I made that conscious decision to come back. You know, so many people influenced that decision to come back. What would you say to people who are still out there, who are still complaining and, you know, complaining about the faith that they grew up in, especially within the Adventist circle, who are still saying, no, it's a miserable faith and all that stuff?
I think I'd say the same thing that I say to anyone who is not Adventist. In fact, even those who are in the church, which is to be intentional about seeking Christ. So don't worry about the label of Seventh-day Adventist. Don't worry about a denomination. Just seek Christ, read the Bible, and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you, right? So the Holy Spirit is not limited to the SDA church.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, God is interested in every single human being that he has created. And so he is willing to speak to all of us if we're willing to listen. So go through your Bible, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and let that lead you to the true church. I have an idea of where that will lead you, but I'm not going to try and direct you there. I know what it has done for me. I know that as much as I said, I was not like a rebellious person. I never like left the church or anything like that. But I did go through periods of questioning and wondering, questioning my faith. And like I said, especially after having children, and they want to know, why do we do this? Why do you believe in this? Why are you so sure about the Sabbath and about the state of the dead? All these things. Go into the Bible for yourself. Be intentional about it. It's not going to happen by accident. You have to intentional, you have to be going in there in order to build your relationship with God so that you get to a point where you can recognize his voice. And once you're at that place, his voice will lead you to the true church, to a true family of believers. That's the reason for the church. It's not just a place to mark the register and say, okay, I attended. It's a family of believers where you will find support, you will find correction, you will find encouragement, you will find opportunities to practice your faith, which means you will find some difficulties. You'll find people who are difficult to deal with, but they're there to help you, you know, strengthen your faith, strengthen certain aspects of your character. So all those people who are there who have made it difficult for you, it's never going to be smooth sailing. You'll always find difficult people. I'm sure I'm a difficult person to someone. As much as I might think I'm an easygoing person, someone might find that I grind their gears. But I think we're all placed in this church for a reason. And including the difficult characters that make it hard for us to enjoy the experience, they're there for a reason as well. There are also patients in this hospital who are waiting for the doctor to deal with them. I think I'll just encourage you to go into the Word of God and let Him direct you.
Brilliant, brilliant. And one last question, Bongi. As parents, just give us a bit of some detail. What can we do to make our children understand that, to have a better understanding of this faith, and for them not to feel like we're shoving it down their throats?
Hey, yeah, that's a difficult one. But it's also the same thing again. It has to be intentional, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, first of all, I think the most important thing is to lead by example.
Yeah.
So if I am a loving mother and I have a good relationship with my children and I'm a safe space for my children to come and be honest and authentic about who they are, about what they're going through, without feeling judged. When I have that relationship already and they see that that character comes from my own relationship and connection with God, I think that's a good place to start, right? So if you're bashing your children all the time, if you're a short-tempered person or an absent parent, it's going to be difficult for you to come and tell them about a God, because they're just like, I don't know. If that God is the reason why you are the way you are, no thanks. I'd rather pass, right? So if you you yourself have to be a good parent, have that good relationship with your children, that makes them more more open and willing to learn about this God who has made you into this wonderful person. Be willing to apologize when you make mistakes. Be willing to accept your own shortcomings. I know as Africans, the rule is that an adult doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah. True.
We have to be able to say, okay, here I was wrong, I made a mistake, and be humble enough to do that. And then secondly, go into the Word with them.
Yeah.
Study the Word with them.
Yeah.
Be open where you don't know, where you're confused. Be able to also say, yeah, I'm not sure about this part. Let's research it together. Let's study it together.
Yeah.
That makes it more interesting for the child as well to know that, okay, we're learning this thing together. This is a journey we're on together.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that mom is the teacher or dad is the teacher and I'm the student. No, we're both students in this thing. We're both learning. Like you said, we're reading the Bible anew as well in our adult years. We're starting afresh. So let's do it together with the kids. Where I'm not sure of something, let's research it together. And finally, make sure they have their own relationship with God. So one thing, and this is scary for me, right? So one thing I want to do, my husband and I were talking about having them kind of have like a prayer journal.
Yeah.
Writing down what they're praying about, and then come back to it and see when God has answered, mark it down that God has answered this prayer. I feel like that makes it very obvious to them. It makes it clear to them that, so this God actually does exist and He actually does answer prayers. My fear comes from a place of cynicism as an adult who has been through some disappointments.
Yeah.
Where I'm afraid that, oh, what if He doesn't answer some of those prayers? What will it do to their faith? So right now, I feel like I want to keep them sheltered in this place where, no, whatever you pray for, God will give you. But I know in reality, that's not a fact. So I don't know how to balance that part. But basically, my point is just they must have their own prayer time. Family worship is great, but teach them to also pray by themselves. Teach them when someone is giving them trouble at school to pray over that person, pray for them, you know, whatever situation they're facing, to pray about it. And yeah, I think beyond that, you have to pray for your child.
No, well, there's a word that I'm walking away with, Bongi, from this conversation. Be intentional. Oh, it's a phrase. Be intentional. So I'm walking away with that phrase, and I'm going to be like, I made a decision with my friends and we said, we're going to be intentional about teaching our children to understand Christianity, what it is all about. And thank you for using that phrase, be intentional. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Bongi. And I wish you all the best raising this born and bred in the church children. As much as
the church maternity ward. Thank you, Charlie.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bongi. You can catch her on Sunday mornings. You can catch her on Sabbath mornings on the mid-morning empowerment, Bongi.
Yes, mid-morning.
Yeah, and she's the beautiful voice that you always hear giving us those beautiful announcements. And what a beautiful voice, Bongi. We thank the Lord for that.
Thank God. Thanks, Tommy. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.